he had trouble finding it. It's the seventh book from Isaiah. That'll help you. Everybody can find Isaiah. Just turn over seven books to the book of Amos. Charles, that back door is open back there. Can you please close it? The book of Amos. Now, no one in here is in the habit of keeping company with those that oppose them or disagree with them, unless perhaps you're married to one such person. But everyone makes friends of those they have much in common with. We like to be around people who are very much like ourselves, or at least people who tolerate us. We like to be around those sort of people. Nobody likes to be around a disagreeable and contentious sort of person. I used to know a fella on the railroad that I worked with. He was the most disagreeable person I've ever seen in my life. He disagreed about anything and everything. Anything and everyone. Whatever you had, he didn't like it. Whatever you sold, he wasn't selling. He knew better. Whatever you had, his was better. If you drive the Ford, he thought Chevy was better. If you put Goodyear tires on your truck, he thought Michelin was the only thing they had. I believe if you turned around and said the opposite, he said, no, what I really meant to say. He was disagreed with everything. Everything. He was the most obnoxious and contentious and disagreeable person I've ever known. And nobody liked him. Everybody dreaded to see him coming. He thought he had a lot of friends. He didn't have any. Nobody liked him. And it's the same with us. No one will remain married to. No one will be friends with. No one will associate with somebody disagreeable and argumentative and contentious and contradictory to the things we say. We make friends of those who are in agreement with us. And just as it is true with us, it's doubly, infinitely more so with God Almighty. Now, this is a very simple theme, a very simple message here. But look at Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Let's read all three verses. Amos 3, verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. Now you remember they were a contentious people. The Israelites complained about everything. They complained they didn't have any water, so God gave them water. They complained about not having any bread, so God gave them bread. They complained about getting bread, having too much bread, so God sent them meat. They just complained about everything. And they didn't like anything God did. Didn't like the way he did it. And he found false, disagreeable sort of people. Verse 2, God says, now you only have I known or chosen of all the families on the earth. You only. Therefore, I'm going to punish you, he said. I'm going to punish you for all your iniquity. Verse 3, and he sums it up by saying this, can two walk together except they be agreed? And you'll remember that it was fulfilled. The people did not walk into the promised land with him. The disagreeable or unbelieving is another word. Did not walk in the promised land. Walked no more with God. They died in the wilderness. They died. Now turn over to Genesis chapter 15 with me. Genesis chapter 15. A very simple definition of saving of faith can be this. A very simple definition of faith is just this. To agree with God. To agree with God. To agree with God. And salvation is walking with God in agreement. To agree with God. My pastor preached from a passage in Luke chapter 7 that said, after Christ preached, it said the publicans and the sinners heard him gladly, and it says all those that heard him justified God. Justified God. That is what they said when they heard Christ speak, heard him preach. They declared him right. They justified God. Like David said, that you might be just when you speak. You be right, whatever you say, David said. Now, to agree with God, to declare God right concerning all things, is another definition of faith. Abraham was called the friend of God. He was called the friend of God. And Abraham was declared justified. That, whatever learned the meaning of that word, I believe many, many people in here have. If you ever learn the meaning of the word justified, that means declared holy, righteous, accepted. God said of Abraham, and he says of many others, I accept you. I receive you unto myself, that you may dwell with me throughout eternity. I justify you, Terry Kinsler, God said. How? Not by anything you do. Oh, no. By faith. And Abraham was declared justified, accepted, holy, righteous, innocent of any wrongdoing. He certainly had done wrong and sinned like anybody else. Simply because he believed God. Look at Genesis 15, verse 6. And it says, Abraham believed in the Lord. He believed in the Lord. Not just that he existed, but he believed in him. That whatever he said, it was right. And God counted that to that man for righteousness. This is good news here. And this is salvation. Abraham just believed in whatever, you know, when you believe in somebody, that means you trust them. You, whatever they say, that's right. My daughter believes in me. I believe in my father. Humanly speaking now, I'm just using an illustration. And some of you believe in me. You believe what I tell you, I'm going to do it. Whatever God says, the believer says, that's right. He'll do it. He'll do it. He's able. He's willing. He'll do it. It's right. And Abraham believes God. Abraham believed whatever God said, in spite of what others said, he believed God. Contrary to popular opinion, it sure wasn't popular back then, was it? Oh no, people were mumbling and grumbling and complaining about everything, just as they do now. In spite of, contrary to popular opinion, Abraham believed God. I don't care what y'all say, all I care is what he said. And God smiled on that man. Smiled on him. Even in opposition to his family. God said, Abraham, come on out from your family now. Come on out. And I'm sure they said, where you going? What are you doing this for? I believe God. I love you, yes, but I believe God. I love him, believe him better. No. And God declared that man to be righteous. Simply because, I can't make it any clearer, any plainer, can't make it any simpler. But faith is just to agree with God. Whatever he says, it's right. It's right. It's good. Can't be any other way. All things. And Abraham believed and declared the character of God, the ways of God before the people, his family. Turn over to Romans chapter 4 with me. Romans chapter 4. Abraham bowed to, submitted to, was agreeable to, and in love with the person and the work of his Lord God. And what? And you and I are justified the same way. Exactly the same way. I'll read that to you here from Romans 4. Look at verse 20. Romans chapter 4. It says, Abraham staggered not at the... He said he didn't stagger. God said something miraculous to him. God said something hard to him. Take your son up there. Hard. God sent a trial. He didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. No, you just can't believe. God is sure. No. No. He didn't stagger. Didn't stagger.
in unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And there's a key to this thing, giving glory to God. And he being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able. He was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him. It was charged to him as righteousness. He didn't do anything. God did this before Abraham took his son up, before Abraham did anything. God imputed or declared him to be a righteous and holy man before Abraham did anything. God just said, Abraham, I'm going to bring a seed from you. I'm going to multiply your seed. Okay. Abraham, I want you to come out with, okay. And we're going to see here in a minute how this is the same thing holds true with us. It's a simple agreement. It's profound in that God has to change these hell-bound, rebellious, devilish worlds of ours that have our own way. My, like we were talking about last night in kids. My, God has changed that. It's profound in that it takes a miraculous work of God to change a hell-bound sinner and rebel into an agreeable, submitting child of God. That takes the work of God. But that's what it is, nevertheless. Agree. And it takes nothing less than the work of God. God saves. God justifies. God sanctifies. God loves. God befriends. God accepts only those who believe in and submit to and bow to His Son, who is called the Word. Look at it there in verse 23. It was imputed, verse 22, it was imputed to Abraham, a charge to his account for righteousness, acceptance. Now, verse 23, it wasn't written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed also. If we just, live a good life, if we go to church every Sunday, if we tithe and pray, no, believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now understand me, I'll explain what it is to believe here in a moment. Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. These are things necessary to believe. Therefore, verse 1, being justified by faith, that is, simply believing, trusting, resting in Him, being agreeable to God in His Christ, in His way of salvation. By faith, we have peace with God. We can walk with God. God said, okay, you can be around me. Like I said now, we don't like to have anybody around. We won't tolerate it. Especially in our children, you know, as parents, won't tolerate a disagreeable and rebellious child. Don't do it. And my, God has no rebellious children or disagreeable children. They all agree with everything. Whatever dad says is right. Father knows best. Every one of them. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can walk with Him. Now, the Scripture says, to this man will I look, or woman. To him that is poor in themselves. They don't have anything that can recommend them to this holy God. They don't have any holiness, no righteousness. Poor. Don't have what they see that they need to be accepted by this God. Poor of a contrite or humble, broken spirit, that is seeing that they're not only lacking what God deserves, but they're full of what God hates. Seeing it. And it makes them contrite and repentant before God and ashamed of themselves. God says, I'll look on that person. I'll look on them with favor, grace, favor, compassion. I'll look upon that person. The person is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Trembles at what I say. Now the only way anybody is going to tremble at God's word is if they believe it, aren't they? Not if a man, like a man says, I have trouble with election. Now wait a minute now.
You may not understand it, but you best be believing it real fast. Right? Now, you may not understand God's sovereignty, but you best be believing it real fast. Right? And somebody may say, I don't understand that. That's fine. There's a lot of things I don't understand. Most things I don't understand. But I believe. I believe. And to tremble at God's word means, ooh. God said that, didn't he? You know what I mean? It's not, well, I don't know about that. He said over here. Oh. That's not trembling his word, is it? Trembling his word is to believe it. No, most people seem to only want to argue about God's word. Huh? You know what's the people you run into? Look over at Psalm 119 now. Let's look at this. This is the text over in Psalm 119. Perhaps the greatest man to live on the face of the earth. Was David. Scriptural basis for saying something like that, because he was the man whom God chose to be the clearest type of Christ in all the scriptures, I believe. David. God used David to pen the very words of his son on the cross. He wouldn't entrust that just to any old man, would he? David. This was the man God used to represent the gospel in such a clear manner. The man God called his son. Son of David. And he called David, he said, this is the, God said, I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for a man just like me. A man after my own heart. A man that thinks like I think. A man that loves like I love. I'm looking for a man. Now we know that's a picture of Christ. But he said that to David, didn't he? Because that's a picture of Christ. But he called David a man after his own heart. Now, I say that about, you probably said that about some people. Oh, he's a man after my own heart. Why? Because he agrees with you. He likes the same things you like. He esteems you highly. And look at this. David said over Psalm 119, verse 128. Look at verse 126. I like this. Verse 126. David said, it's time for thee, O Lord, to work. Anybody ever said that? Oh, I wish the Lord had. Oh, I wish he'd move. Wish he'd move. But why? Because they've made void your law. I'm getting sick of these idiots. I'm getting sick of them. You think you're sick of these false prophets and all this hypocrisy and blasphemy that goes under the name of Christ. You think how God feels about it. It's dangerous. If he's wiser than us, he knows that he sees where he's coming. He knows exactly when it is, and it's already done. But we don't, and we just gnash our teeth, don't we, when we hear these guys and gals. He says, time for you to work, O Lord. They've made void your law.
That is your word.
They're making void the word of God. Look at verse 127. But I love your word above gold. Fine gold, verse 128. And this is the reason he was declared a man after God's own heart. I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. David, like every child of God, was God's yes man. You heard of a yes man, haven't you? Back in the old gangster movie, a yes man. You know, a man that would be the big boss man, and he'd have some little fellow beside him. And the boss man said, we got to get these guys. The other guy said, yeah. And he said, let's go down there. And the other guy said, right, boss. You know, a yes man. Whatever the big boss said, yeah, right, let's go. Yeah, he was agreeable with everything. David, and you, if you're a child of God, we're God's yes man. Where he just, whatever God says, yes, Lord. That's right. Right. Whatever he says. Whatever God does, right. That's right. It's good. It's good. It's the best thing. Yeah. Whatever
God's purposes with that's all right by me.
You know best. You know best. And it'll be the same way with you if you're a true child of God and a disciple of Christ. Christ said this. He was speaking, he was preaching to a multitude of people. And he was saying some hard things. He was saying some, he was preaching doctrine. He was preaching God's sovereignty. He was preaching justification by faith. He was preaching election. He was preaching his incarnation. God, he had become a man. And how he was preaching the necessity of a new birth and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. All these things. He's preaching doctrine. Hard doctrine. And that's just what some of the people said. Some of them, after we heard it, they said, I don't know about that. I can't buy that election stuff.
Yeah.
Let's go. Honey, you ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. And they went and walked no more with him. Evidently, they were walking up until that point. They I don't know. Did you say election?
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. And walked no more with him. And Christ, after they left, he turned to his disciples and said, you want to go too? You gonna go? Peter? James? You gonna go? You know? What'd they say?
Oh, no, Lord. No. You have the words of life. Your words are life. Life.
He said that what they were saying in essence was your life itself. You're like the fellow saying, you're true.
Everybody else is lying. You're true.
You're the way. Every other way is going to lead to destruction. That's what they said. You're the righteous. You're our only hope of righteousness with God. I'm the filthy rags. We can't get to God. You're our only hope. You're wisdom. Everything else is foolish, including me. I don't know what to do, where to go, what to say, how to do it. You're my only hope. What they're saying. Your salvation, all other Christ, every other person is a thief and a robber. Look at David. Look what he says here in chapter, in Psalm 119, verse 129. Look at it. He says, your testimonies are wonderful. They're wonderful. And my soul, keep them. They just cling to them. Lord, how about you? I will cling to them, not let them go. Verse 130. The entrance of your words, they give light and understanding. I was such an ignorant fool before God. I mean, an out and out fool. I'm still a fool, but I'm even more so then, believe it or not. But God's word gives light and understanding. I was a young, ignorant fool. But the entrance of God's word gives light and understanding. Understanding. It gives understanding to the simple. That is a simple-minded simpleton. Little pinhead. It gives understanding to him. David said, I was one, and he heard me. And he talked to me. He spoke to me. Look at verse 137. Righteous. That is, true are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies that you have commanded, they're right. You see what he's saying here? They're righteous and very true and faithful. They're right. You go out of here just hearing one word, I say it, that God is right. You will have heard the wisdom of righteousness. You will have heard enough for your salvation. God is right. God is right. By testimony that you've commanded a righteous and very faithful. Very faithful. Verse 139. He says, my zeal has consumed me because your enemies have forgotten your words. Anybody know where he's coming from here? Do you know where he's coming from? God's enemies have forgotten this book. You'll see them, you know, these false prophets. They might read one verse. They might. And they might not.
And then he'll throw her down, and he'll grab her handkerchief and start, you know, forget God's word.
Let me show you how clever I am. Let me go on a tirade. Or either that, or they twist it and make it say what it doesn't say, withhold from it, add to it. Many ways they corrupt God's word, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2. Many ways they corrupt God's word. Verse 140. Oh, but your word to me, David said, is pure.
It's pure. It's just, it can't be added to. It can't be taken away from. It's pure. It's perfect. Perfect. And I love it. I love it.
Look at verse 160. 160. Thy word is true from the beginning. It's true now.
It always has been. Always will be. It's true.
Whatever God said, whether men like it or not. This is what I'm trying to do this morning. Give all glory to God who is right. And demand that we all believe Him. And bow to Him. Every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Look at verse 165. He says, great peace have they which love thy law, thy word, thy commandment. And nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend. Nothing. Because all of God's people say this. They say, let God be true and every man a lie. Nothing and no one offend them. Well, you don't look much like a Christian. Well, I know. I'm sorry. I'm ashamed of myself. But God says, I'm justified. He says there's no condemnation. Well, but you ought to do this. No, no, wait a minute. God said it's done. Well, I don't know much about the Bible, but I know that...
Well, you don't know much then at all, do you?
I don't know much about the Bible. Well, this is what I think. I'm not interested. You got something to say what God said? Let's look through God's Word. Let's see what He said. When God said, every believer... Every child of God says that God is right, declares, justifies God. When God says, I'm holy, absolutely unapproachably holy, and you're sinful. Every one of God's people say, true.
It's true.
We're altogether undone. You're altogether lovely and holy. When God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that means they're unthankful and wretched and undeserving and hell-deserving. All have sinned. There's none good, no, not one. And God's people, all of them say, that's true. I've never done a bit of good, ever will. That's true. We haven't been ungrateful. We haven't acknowledged you. We haven't glorified you this year. We ought to sit
to hell, forget what we deserve. Every one of them say that. Justify God.
When God says the soul that sins, it must surely die. The child of God says, true, Lord. That's just, if I did, I did, I deserve it. God says, only my will be done in heaven as it is in earth. Only my will. And every one of God's people say, true,
Lord. My will is bound by sin. I can't do what I would.
I only do the things I would not. God says, if I don't choose you, you'll not be chosen. What he says. And every one of God's people say, true, Lord. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and calls to approach unto him. I was going my own way. Unless you stopped me and chosen me and brought me to yourself, I wouldn't have come. It's true, Lord. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And every one of God's people and every one of his believers say, true, Lord. Your thoughts are higher than the heaven. Higher than the heaven. And holy, man, are altogether sinful. When God says, my ways are not your ways, every one of God's people say, true, Lord, your ways are holy and righteous and just. My ways are altogether sinful and ungodly and wretched. When God says, Jesus Christ is our only begotten Son, the only one I'm well pleased with, all of God's people say, true, Lord, I've never done anything worthy or well pleasing in your sight. Never. And Jesus Christ is the only sinless man. When God said he's the only way and that a sinner can approach unto me, every one of God's people say, true, Lord. He's the door.
He's the way. When God says he's the only righteousness I will accept, I won't accept your pitiful, filthy works. Every one of God's people says, sure, Lord. True. All mine have been filthy words from day one. Every one of them. When God says he's my only sacrifice, the only sacrifice I'll accept, I won't accept your filthy sacrifices, your new moons, your Sabbath, your solemn meetings, away with them, my soul hates them. All say, true, Lord. Full of hypocrisy. Full of hypocrisy. And only the blood and sacrifice of Christ is a sweet smelling savor to you. All my works are stinking. Stinking. When God says, believe in my Son. Believe in my Son. Bow to his Lordship. And you'll be saved. Every one of God's people say, okay, Lord. I bow. He's Lord. He's sovereign. He's King. I believe. Would you help my belief? When God says, except I give you faith, the gift of faith, you're not going to believe. Because faith is my gift. You can't gum it up. No matter what you do, you can't believe. God's people say, true, Lord, we're kept by your sovereign power. We cannot keep ourselves. And when God said, trust my Son and hear him and believe him, every one of God's people say, amen. Okay. Amen. And when God says, your sins be forgiven me, every one of God's people say, said in his heart, there's no God. No God. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. We say that. We say that. Amen? God said, he says, why should I strike you anymore? Why should I chasten you anymore? Why should I do anything anymore to you? You will grow more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint from the sole of the feet to the top of the head. There's no soundness in it. What do you say to that? That's you? That's me. When God says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. The nations are a drop of a bucket, counted as small dust for the balance. Nothing. Grasshoppers. Not fit to be burned. What do you say to that? That's right. That's right. When God said there's no fear of God before their eyes, all the sin that comes short of the glory of God, and he says, whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that under the law, they then shut their mouths and become guilty before God. By the deeds of the law, no flesh should be justified in his sight. What do you say to that? That's what Paul said over and over again in Romans. He said, what do you say to these things? What do you say to these things? And what you say and how you act to these things, how you act toward these things, proves your condition before God Almighty. And I bless God. There's some people in here that, by God's mercy and grace, agree with God. They seem to agree with God, actually agree with him, and actually kind of live by faith. Well, he said this, and I'll quit. He said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So my advice to you, my advice to me, and everyone that would hear us, and hear the Word of God is to bow to and submit to and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to Him, His righteousness. Trust Him and Him alone. Bow to, believe in the Lord God, that whatever He does is right and true and necessary and will work out, will redound to His glory and our good. And that person, based upon God's Word, that person will be eternally saved. Eternally saved. He has God's Word on it. God's truth. God's right. Whatever He says. Stand with me and I'll dismiss this in prayer.
Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. It's our only source of comfort and hope and encouragement. We beg Your forgiveness for our nonchalance and lackadaisical attitude toward Your Word. And we wish that You would send Your Spirit and to move us, cause us to react with joy, and cause us to preach right, cause us to hear right, cause us to be able to worship our God like He ought to be worshipped, in spirit and in truth. Lord, be with us this evening, if it be Your will, be with us, enable us to worship, bring folks back to worship, to hear the gospel, which is our only hope. Forgive us for what we are. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.